This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. It's 7:35. Senate President Jeff Kessler announced a new initiative yesterday focused on revitalizing Southern coalfield communities. SCORE, or Southern Coalfields Organizing and Revitalizing Their Economy, is a bipartisan group of 12 senators who will soon start traveling the region discussing solutions with the people who live there.
I've seen distresses in industries that have occurred, and I want to make sure that we're being proactive and looking at opportunities.
Kessler gathered a small group of senators at the Capitol to announce the creation of his new task force. The SCORE initiative will send lawmakers out into communities most affected by the downturn in the coal industry and ask the citizens living there how the legislature can best help improve their economy and quality of life.
As you know, we've been under a great deal of pressure, particularly in the southern coal fields, due to the downturn in the coal industry based upon the things that are going on in Washington with the EPA. But as a state, I don't think that we can sit back and wait for it to unravel in Washington. We need to look and see what we can do as state legislators representing our communities to try to bring economic development, diversification, and initiatives back to our region and create jobs and opportunities for our people.
The 12-member group is made up of mostly senators from southern counties, but includes some from more central, rural areas who face similar economic and health troubles. The goal is for lawmakers to gather the opinions and ideas of southern West Virginians and use them to create legislation. But some senators already have their own ideas of what can be done legislatively, and those ideas are very diverse. Senator Ron Miller of Greenbrier County says he'd prioritize a bill focusing on increasing funding for marketing and tourism, an area that's been hit by recent budget cuts.
This Pure Michigan everybody talks about has a rate of return on investment of $7 for every dollar spent. Now, in West Virginia, we think we're about $3 right now for every dollar spent. And what a great investment for West Virginia.
For West Virginia and for my area, I want to make it perfectly clear that my main concern is still coal.
Senator Art Kirkendall of Logan County is serving as the task force's co-chair and says he'd like to see his fellow senators support a bill to give tax credits to companies who buy a certain tonnage of West Virginia coal for use in their coal-fired power plants.
I think if you're going to revitalize the coal industry in your own state, use your own coal.
Kirkendall tried to introduce the same bill during the 2014 legislative session, but there was little interest in it. He believes the timing could be better for the bill during the 2015 session. Senator Ron Stallings of Boone County says revitalizing southern West Virginia and diversifying the economy will take broad-based changes over time, with focuses on education, infrastructure, and substance abuse.
It can't just be a one industry place, because we know what happens in Detroit when the car industry messes up, and we know what happens in southern West Virginia when the coal industry takes a hit. So we absolutely have to have a sustained effort.
The task force hasn't released their official schedule yet, but Kessler says they'll hit the road in the next few weeks and wrap up their tour before the next legislative session begins in January. Natural gas. It's being hailed throughout the country as the great white energy hope, a clean-burning transition fossil fuel that will lead us to energy independence. Well, it all gets drilled from geological source rocks thousands of feet under rural counties like Doddridge. For a couple of years now, an organization in Doddridge County has been teaming with scientists to try to get a better handle on the impacts of horizontal drilling and the ancillary processes that support it. West Virginia Host Farms brings together landowners, researchers, students, and news reporters like Glennis Board. She brings us this report from what is locally referred to as ground zero of Marcellus Shale fracking.
Founder of West Virginia Host Farms, Diane Pitcock, is giving me a tour of the various facilities associated with natural gas production in Doddridge County. Right now, we're standing on a public rail trail in the unincorporated town of Central Station. We're in front of what's named the Saturn Compressor Station, run by a company called EQT.
I mean, this compressor, they're going to double that thing in size, and there is nothing that requires them to close any of these emissions.
Doddridge County has an estimated population of just over 8,000 people. Driving through Central Station, it looks like there are a couple of dozen families that live here. There are several trailers, and the only buildings look to be older and in disrepair. Diane and I spoke with some of the residents in the community who are worried about air and noise pollution, but few are willing to be vocal about concerns because they don't want to openly criticize economic development in their rural backyards. Some members of the community get paid to do odd jobs for gas companies, like monitor traffic to and from drilling sites or help clean up spills. Diane says communities like Central Station are a concern to members in her group, West Virginia Host Farms, because they get some of the heaviest exposure to emissions and noise.
We don't have the protections we need for the people who live in these communities. So this kind of noise goes on constantly, and studies have shown that it will have health impacts.
Diane says the compressor station noise reaches over 70 decibels in the neighborhood, which is about as loud as a vacuum cleaner. She knows it reaches over 70 decibels because she spoke with the researcher who recently measured it. Now, 55 decibels is enough to interrupt sleep, according to public health experts at West Virginia University. And interrupted sleep could result in hypertension or high blood pressure, health problems that are already endemic in the state. Diane Pitcock hails from the Baltimore area, a self-described pro-small business conservative. Diane is an adult and community education expert who got her degree from Johns Hopkins University. She says she and her husband moved to rural West Virginia several years ago to learn how to can and watch chickens peck the yard and basically disappear into a hollow. But that life didn't last very long.
A couple of years after we were here, our neighbor leased his minerals, and they put well pads on the surface near us and on the ridgetop above us. And it gave me the idea, since the well pads are so close to our property, the one thing we can do is invite people to get close to do these types of tests.
So the West Virginia Host Farm Project was born. As a result, various environmental groups, students, and researchers have gotten easy access to drilling sites and other natural gas processing facilities. The project facilitates groups studying everything from noise and light pollution to migratory songbird populations and how they're affected by the industrial outcroppings. One group from Carnegie Mellon University is currently working with the Host Farm Project studying air quality. In fact, we saw their van driving around. It was easy to identify since it was outfitted with strange projecting air probing sensors. So we flagged them down.
Well, what you're looking at here is a mobile laboratory. This van, it's Ford E150, is packed with scientific instruments that measures concentrations of methane and other gases in real time.
That's postdoctoral fellow Mark O'Mara. He's studying airflow patterns off of this particular hill that has a drilling pad with several wells on top of it.
And in the Marcellus Shale area, these emissions aren't well documented. We do not know a whole lot about how much of these emissions are coming from these sites. And so the idea is to measure these emissions, quantify them.
The Carnegie study is funded by the National Energy Technology Laboratory. It began in May this year and will take another couple of years of testing and analyzing data before results are published sometime in 2016. Mark says there is one company which has cooperated with the study so far, but West Virginia Host Farms Project has been extremely helpful in putting the research team in touch with landowners who provide valuable access to various sites.
We as a team from Carnegie Mellon University, we appreciate that collaboration. It's been very, very helpful.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Doddridge County.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. It's 7:45.
I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director here, and you support West Virginia Morning when you call 800-723-4687, or you go online and you click that Donate Now button at wvpublic.org. This is the Telling Your Story campaign, and when you become part of telling this story, it is so much better. You're listening to it right now. You rely on it. Support it with your call at 800-RADIO-87, or go to wvpublic.org and click Donate Now.
The actor whose most famous part came as the Fonz on Happy Days just made a trip to West Virginia to talk to school children about growing up with dyslexia. Clark Davis has the story.
Henry Winkler was in Jackson County Thursday to discuss what he dealt with as a child with dyslexia and the books he now writes based on his life. The children's novels are titled Hank Zipser, The World's Greatest Underachiever. The novels provide a comedic way of illustrating to kids to not stop trying.
Who knew that this was going to be part of my life? Who knew that this was going to be possible? And so what I tell the children is I was bad in English, in math, in history. I was great at going home. I excelled at walking out the door. I was told that I would never achieve, and here I am today.
Winkler, along with writer Lynn Oliver, wrote and published 17 different books in the Hank Zipser series. Winkler also wrote one book for adults about one of his favorite hobbies, fly fishing. Winkler says he could never imagine that he would be writing books when he was a kid that could barely read. He says when acting slowed down, someone suggested he give writing a try.
They said, why don't you fill the space with writing about your learning challenges? And I said, it's impossible. I can't write a book. He said, don't worry about it. Just do it. And I was smart enough to say, I'll try. I'm going to try. One of the great gifts that fell out of the sky into my lap is that I get to go and talk to children.
The Jackson County Community Foundation brought Winkler to Jackson County. He says to get to hear from children how much his books mean is special.
And it turns out that kids write us and they say, how did you know me so well? I'm not alone. Oh my goodness. They have actually said to me, you're inspirational. I had like first graders go, you're inspirational. I'm telling you, if you don't talk down to children, you talk to them, with them, they hear you. I don't change a hair on my speech.
Winkler still plays roles on television in Arrested Development and Royal Pains, and is working on season 2 of Hank Zipser for the BBC. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Jackson County.
Roane County, West Virginia native Dave Bing is a veteran fiddle teacher and musician with decades of performing throughout the United States and abroad. He's backed here by fellow West Virginian Ben Townsend on banjo and vocals for Red Mountain Wine in this Mountain Stage Song of the Week. Listen to the full version of Red Mountain Wine at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with assistance from Dave Mistich, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Glennis Board, Roxy Todd, Liz McCormick, and Beth Voorhees. Our director is Teresa Wills. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. I'm Ashton Mara.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Leave a Legacy, inspiring West Virginia citizens to support their favorite charities through their wills and planned gifts. Online at lalwv.org.